Hello, my name is George Markovanolis. I'm a lead HPC scientist at CSE, and I'm here to present you about getting started with AMD GPUs. Our outline, also the motivation, a few words about Lumi, the RockM, introduction and porting codes to heap, benchmarking, Fortran and heap with some differences, and tuning. So the disclaimer, AMD ecosystem is under heavy development. Many things can change without notice any week, any month. All the experiments took place on NVIDIA V100 GPU. It's a booted cluster at CSE. Trying to use the latest version of RockM. Maybe till the presentation there'll be a newer version. And some results are really fresh and investigating the outcome. So there are some small challenges. Now about Lumi, the Queen of the North, a EURHPC project that is a consortium of many countries that they're a part of this project. So how many partitions? You can see here the Lumi GPU partition with AMD i6 GPUs. Lumi C, the x86 partition, only with processor for applications that cannot really use GPUs. You can see data analytics, high-speed interconnect, various storage systems depending on the needs. And a classic cluster parallel file system of 80 petabyte, and this will be installed this year in Finland. So that's why we get ready for this infrastructure. So about motivation and challenges, Lumi will have AMD GPUs. That's why we need to know how to program them and learn about the ecosystem. We will plan to provide training to Lumi users. Probably one is coming end of February. Investigating the future about possible problems, so we want to find issues that maybe the user will have, and we don't have yet access to AMD GPUs, so that's an issue that we work basically on NVIDIA GPUs. So here it is in a small example of a MI100 architecture, and you can see that it has eight shader engines that is constituted by compute units. And each shader engine has 16 compute units, but 8 of them are disabled, and each compute unit has 64 shader processing cores. So basically, the GPU command processor breaks down kernels to blocks and distributes them to compute units. One compute unit can execute many blocks, and threads from one block use the same compute unit. And a kernel can have more block than what the compute unit can fit. So 64 threads constitute the wavefront. This is the terminology on AMD, while on CUDA we called warp, and it's constituted by 32 threads. And you can see here in the middle the SCE, the synchronous compute engine, the HWS for a hardware scheduler, and the DMA for asynchronous data transfers between GPU and host or between GPUs. And here the fabric to connect with other GPUs or with the host and some memory controllers, etc. So differences between heap and CUDA. I mentioned already that the wavefronts are the size of 64 threads, while warping CUDA is 32. Some CUDA library functions do not have AMD equivalents, and shared memory and reserve per thread can differ between AMD and NVIDIA hardware. And now about RockM is an open software platform for GPU accelerated computing by AMD. And has many layers, and we start with the supported GPUs, and you can see a list of supported GPUs. Of course, there will be more, and some other removed when they become older. We have the device driver, which is basically the RockM GPU driver, and supports some Linux distributions, and the Thunk driver interface to have a user API for the driver. The system runtime, the HSA runtime, low-level manipulation, and how to handle all the below layers. Programming frameworks from AMD is the heap and the OpenCL, and we'll talk about heap in this presentation. Libraries. Now, libraries, there's something easy. When a library is called rock and something, then it's about AMD hardware. When it's heap and something, then can run both on AMD and NVIDIA. That's really a nice feature. And there's also heap fault we'll discuss a bit, and then machine learning stuff. Application framework TensorFlow, Caffe, etc. And development and management tools, RockProf and RockTracer for profiling and tracing, RockSMI like the NVIDIA SMI, and some debugging agents, etc. And there are many more that are not presented here. Now, RockM installation is constituted by many components. This RockM CMake to provide some CMake files, the thunk interface that I mentioned about the API to the driver, the HSA runtime API and runtime for RockM, which handles all the layers, RockM LLVM and Clang basically, which is the compiler that is used behind many cases, RockM Info to provide information about the hardware, RockM device libs is the device side library for some languages. RockM compiler support is about basically to analyze some objects, and then Radeon Open Compute Common Language Runtime among the heap. And also, I have here in the repository instructions of how to install all of these and a script to automate the procedure, and also the repo that I'm using for this talk. And now, introduction to heap. Heap is a heterogeneous interface for portability. It's developed by AMD to program on AMD GPUs. It's a C++ runtime API and supports both AMD and NVIDIA platforms. Heap is similar to CUDA, and there is no performance overhead on NVIDIA GPUs, or there is some minimal in some cases. Many well-known libraries have been ported to on heap, but of course, there are plenty more. New projects or porting from CUDA could be developed directly to heap, because with heap you can run AMD or NVIDIA, so this is some portability. And here is the repository where to find the heap. Now, differences between CUDA and heap API. You can see here the two columns, and for example, here you have the CUDA.h, and here you have this heap runtime.h, and all the CUDA calls, CUDA malloc, etc., are converted to heap malloc, heap MCPI, heap device synchronize. So you can see a clear one-to-one mapping between the calls. Latching kernel with CUDA and heap, this is a bit different. So in CUDA, we say kernel name, give a name, grid size, the number of blocks to launch, block size, the number of threads per block, shared memory size, it's this additional shared memory to allocate, and the stream, which stream to be used, and the arguments. So here in the heap, you add this call, heap launch kernel GGL, and then you take all of these and you put them inside kernel name, grid size with the same order. So as you can see, it's really similar, it's a small difference. And the heap API, we have the device management, heap set device, get device, etc. This is useful for GPGPU. Memory management, heap malloc to allocate memory, memcpy copy memory, copy asynchronous memory, etc. Streams to create, to synchronize, and stream free, etc. And create events, record events, and other calls. The underscore global device and latching kernel. The thread ID, block ID, DX, and the block DIM work as same as CUDA. You have the shared memory, hundreds math functions covering entire CUDA math library. Error handling, get last error, get error string to display the message. And here is the full API. So this is really a small part of the full API. Now, heapify tools convert automatically CUDA code. It's possible that not all the code is converted. The remaining needs implementation of the developer. That's normal, but hopefully most of the code will be converted. Heapify Perl is a text-based search and replace, and a clever one. And Heapify Clang, source-to-source translator that uses Clang compiler, so it does the compilation also. There's an extensive porting guide here from AMD, and we'll continue with Heapify Perl. It can scan directories and converts CUDA codes with replacement of the CUDA to heap, like this, but it's more clever. Comments will not be translated, for example. So, what I give you here as example is if the file name is a source code, and I give Heapify Perl and this argument, then the file name will be converted to file name with extension .preheap, and this is the original file, and the file name will be a heap. So the original code becomes filename.preheap. And this is really nice because you keep the original code and the file name becomes heap. Now, if you want to make a directory with full of files, you give this argument instead of the file, you give the directory, but you use the heap converting place pair. So with this command, they will do the same job but for a directory. It converts all the files that are located inside the directory. Now, here I do ls in this directory and I see these original files. So I did the heap converting place in this directory. And now the file, you can see the .c is a heap and .c preheap is the original file. The .h and .h .preheap. If you want to change something to the original code, you change the .preheap files and then you execute again the command in the step two. No compilation took place, just conversion. Now, the heapify file will return a report for each file, and it looks like this. I have minimized it. It says I totally converted 53 CUDA calls to heaps and gives you which category belong these calls, how many lines of code, and gives you what calls you will see in the code now. So you can see various heap free, heap blast, start success, and how many of them. Now here we see the output of the heapify file, the new code that created it here. So the original code has a CUDA runtime and a kublast, and the heapify file is clever enough to understand that we need the blast, so it includes the heap blast header here. And as you can see, all the CUDA calls now is heap calls here, and even before because this API was a bit older, the CUDA design now is converted to heap blast destroy because this is how it works in the heap blast library. So you can see that's really straightforward comparison. So when we try to compile the application with a heapcc, then you will get an error that heapblast.h doesn't exist. That's normal because we have installed a heapblast. So we install heapblast, and you can see on down in the repository how to install it, and the installation can continue and bypass this point. Just to mention here that when the heap is on NVIDIA hardware, you should include the option minus x cu, so to tell to heapcc that calls nvcc that this file is basically handled like CUDA and have CUDA API calls. So this way to compile CPP files directly on NVIDIA hardware with heap, otherwise it can fail. So heapcc is using nvcc on NVIDIA GPUs and HCC for AMD GPUs. Heapify clang is basically here you can build from source and create directly the outcome without seeing the heapify file. Sometimes you need to include manually the headers with minus i. And in this example, I take a .c file with one CUDA call and I added the argument myself print stats. You don't need to do that yourself. And you see the statistics of the code, how many lines of code change, the total lines of code, percentage, how many seconds took, etc. It's nice to see like that this information. Now we benchmark the for metrics multiplication with OpenAPO Float. We found a benchmark from this GitHub, and with the size is 2,000 times 2,000. All the CUDA calls were converted, and it was linked with heapblast among also OpenAPO Float. And here you can see the results of CUDA and heap. Now, you can see it's almost 1 teraflop. You can see the CUDA is a bit higher than heap, and this value is of the total flops of all the application, all the benchmark. While here it's only for the kernel, so you can see that the kernel, the heap is a bit higher than CUDA, and this is single precision. So the peak is 15 teraflop flops, and they achieve almost 12. And here you can see totally is around 2.23% overhead for heap using NVIDIA GPUs. But this is really a great result. And here for the kernel is even fascinated. And these examples experiments happen 10 times. So to see that it always it happened the same. And about the simulation, so basically I wanted to find another code that I have no idea, and I found this and I used the old pairs and tool case. So 171 CUDA calls converted to heap without issues, around 1,000 lines of code totally. I just showcased the heap calls. I don't need to read them, but you can see some of them are available. And there were more than 32,000 number of small particles with 2,000 time steps. And the CUDA execution code was 68.5 seconds, and the heap was 70.1 seconds, and overhead 2.33%, which is extremely low and good, and also I repeat the experiments enough times. Now, about Fortran, we have two scenarios. The first one is the Fortran plus CUDA in C++ file, and Fortran doesn't include any CUDA call in the Fortran files, okay? And then in this case, we can heapify the CUDA with the tools automatic and compile and link with heapcc, and this is really easy. The second scenario is CUDA Fortran, and there's no heap equivalent, and heap functions are callable from C using extend C, and we'll see heapfort in the next slide. About heapfort, which is a Fortran interface library for GPU kernel, you can find the repository down in the asterisk. There's some effort how to port Fortran, CUDA Fortran calls to Fortran heap. The heapify tool is not supported. So we want to write the kernels in a new C++ file, and wrap the kernel lands in a C function, and use Fortran 2003 C binding to call the function, as we need pointers to be declared in the functions. And also from AMD side, they say things could change in the future, so we'll see if there's a different direction. And of course, you can use OpenAP or Flow to GPUs because port to heap can take more effort, so it depends on application, performance, achievement, etc. We have a Fortran CUDA example, a SAHPI single precision A times X plus Y. The original file was 29 lines of code, and when we port it manually to heap, 52 lines, and with more than 20 new lines, so it's a lot of work for such small code. So someone can ask, should we try OpenAP or Flow before we try to heap? This depends on your expertise and what performance you want to achieve, as heap theoretically has less layers. Need to just make file to compile the multiple files. There's a make file from a heap folder that helps a lot. And the interesting part was that the heap version is up to 30% faster compared to the CUDA Fortran, which basically is MVCC vs PGI compiler, which is a bit interesting and strange. And so we're still checking the results, and it's some interesting outcomes that when we use optimization flags, the situation changes. The PGI is faster than the heap version. So there's something about all of this information about RGC binding, etc. An example of Fortran with heap, you can find it also here. So usually I do not like to have codes in my slides, but here on the left I show you the original Fortran CUDA, how it is. And in the middle is the new Fortran 2003 with heap, where you can see in the box the interface built for the launch function and the options that it needs to be passed, because you have to use all those pointers to pass in the function. And you see the code here, some heap calls, heap malloc, heap memory copy, and we use the heap check also provided by heapfort to check about the routines, if something failed or not from the calls. And on the right is a C++ file with heap and extensi, and you can see here the launch in the box. You can see that the launch routine that's declared the interface in the Fortran file. So the launch is called with parameters. I declare here the grid and the block, and I call the kernel with a heap latch kernel DGL, and I load the kernel. And that's how it works until now, of course, with a heap in Fortran. Now, the AMD OpenAP, we have tested the LLVM OpenAP of Float and gets improved by the time. We haven't done really AMD OpenAP trials. There are still performance issues that it's a bit lower performance than the heap, but AMD improves, and we hope during Loom delivery it will be in really great shape. And also you can find it in this link here on GitHub. OpenAP or heap. Some users will be questioned about the approach. OpenAP can provide a quick porting, but you need to be careful about data transfer and overhead. You need to profile. And with heap, maybe you have better performance as we avoid some layers, but you need to program more. So it depends on you. For complicated codes and programming languages, as Fortran, probably OpenAP provide the fast benefit, but again, it's some personal decisions and how much time you have to investigate the code. porting codes to Lumi. This is an internal diagram, it's not official, so it's just for discussion. So I have a diagram that says that here, if the parallel code is without GPU, or you can try some new libraries like Alpaca, SQL, etc., if it supports your programming language. Or if you're experienced, you can go directly here and identify about heap porting and go here and discuss about the C and identify profiling, finding kernels and port it to heap. Or here in Fortran, profile, identify kernels, use heap fort if necessary, prepare the kernels accordingly to the instruction for Fortran and port them to heap. So if you're here and you're not really expert and to go to heap directly, you can question, and does it have OpenAP? If yes, port OpenAP offloading to GPUs. And if the performance is good, perfect. And if the performance is no good, then probably go directly here and say, check the OpenAP calls to tune them, the different pragmas and data transfers. And if still is not good, then discuss about heap as we discussed before. Now, if the application has GPUs, you can again go to rewrite in the new libraries, which we are not sure what is supported, but hope they will be supported. And if it's CUDA, then you have to choose if it's C or Fortran, and then heapify kernels or use the Fortran approach. And again, the performance is good, great. If not, fix the code if something was not converted, identify, use maybe some asynchronous stuff, and use, of course, the heap libraries that are available. If it's OpenCC, OpenCC will support it from GNU. Then, if the performance is good, great. Otherwise, think to port to OpenAP offloading with GPUs. So, yes, it's a bit complicated diagram, but slowly you can catch up and choose your direction. And maybe there are even more directions. Now, profiling debugging. AMD will provide APIs for profiling debugging. Cray will support the profiling API through CrayPad. Some well-known tools are collaborating with AMD and preparing their tools for profiling and debugging. Some simple environment variables, such as AMD log level equal 4, will provide some information. More information about the heap memory copy error, for example, is like this, where you take the error in a variable and you print it with a get error string, and it describes with a really human message what's up there about. Now, tuning multiple wavefronts per computing unit is important to hide latency and instruction throughput. Memory coalescing increases bandwidth as always, and running loops allow compiler to prefetch data. Small kernel can cause latency overhead, so adjust the workload accordingly. And use of local data share and LDS is a user-managed cache, enables data sharing with threads that belong to the same thread block, similar to shared memory on NVIDIA, and is around 100 times faster compared to global memory. Programming models, we already described about the OpenCC, will be available through GCC, as Metal Graphics, which is now called Siemens EDA, is developing the OpenCC integration. Cocos, RAS, Alpaca, and SQL should be available to be used on Lumi, but they don't support other programming languages, so you need to be careful on this aspect. Depending on the code, the porting to heap can be more straightforward to have applications that were ported and were running without problem. Of course, there can be challenges depending on the code and what GPU functionalities are integrated to an application. So this depends on what heap supports, but AMD is working on it. There are many approaches to port the code, and you should select the one that you are more familiar and provides as possible as good performance. Of course, it depends on the time that you have available. It will be required to tune the code for high occupancy of the GPU. This is classic approach. Always profiling can help to investigate the data transfer issues, and not only. There will be some nice tools also on Lumi. And probably it's more productive to try OpenAP with offload to GPUs, initially with Fortran codes, of course, if there's OpenAP in the Fortran code, but there's some extra effort to heap Fortran codes. That's all for now. I would like to mention that the heap 101 porting CUDA calls to heap training organized by CSE. Registration deadline is 15 February, and for now it's open to the Lumi Consortium. Thank you, and I'm open for any questions.